excited to welcome you to Real Woman, Real Torah, a project of Becheva Learning Center. We're here to offer you an authentic Torah learning experience, produced for woman, by woman. I hope you enjoy. Thank you so much to Chavi Rus for sponsoring today's episode in the merit of any woman waiting to have children. May they be blessed with Zera Chaya Vekayama very soon.
I am excited to welcome Mrs. Sara Morozov. She is a veteran Kala teacher. She has taught hundreds of Kalas, I'm sure, over the years. She's also a high school educator and very well known in the Crown Heights community for her knowledge and for everything she's contributed to Taras HaMashpacha education specifically. So welcome, Mrs. Morozov. Thank you so much for coming on. I wanted to start with talking a little bit about a certain demographic of young women who are, you know, finished high school and seminary, that part of their Jewish education, and are not yet married at that point. And many women at that stage are focused primarily on building a career. Part of it is to, you know, stimulate themselves intellectually and also to, you know, support their future families, right? They're sort of starting to work on, you know, making some money for the family that they will have in the future. The question is, where does learning fit into that picture of these young women's lives?
Torah learning.
Torah learning specifically, yes.
So it is very fascinating that in Tasha Nun, that's 1990, the women's convention that year, you know, there's a yearly women's convention, like springtime. The theme of their convention was V'chol b'nayich limudei Hashem. And the Rebbe then addressed this topic very much in depth about the role of Torah learning for Jewish women nowadays. It's really fascinating. In fact, personally, because I love learning, and I traced the Rebbe's message about women's Torah learning like throughout the years, like starting from a Rishima and then another Sikha, and you know, different things. This Sikha really sums it up and is the most like up-to-date version of the Rebbe's message. And I urge everybody to learn it in the original, because with the footnotes, it's an edited Sikha. And what I'm sharing today, I hope I'm doing optimal justice in expressing the Rebbe's vision, not my own opinion. So that, I hope you can go to the original just to make sure that whatever I'm saying is like 100% what the Rebbe will want our audience to hear. So just like you mentioned that this demographic is very committed to prepare for the future, both in preparing their careers or the learning, or both for financial reasons and for, what was the other reason you gave?
I think for some women, it's also just a, you know, they want a sort of
intellectual stimulation. Yeah. Intellectual. So the Rebbe does address this from these two points, preparing for future family as a keres habayis, and also about intellectual stimulation. And both of them, the Rebbe speaks about in the Sikha. So there was a time in history, if you look in Tarsha in Gemara, it talks about different reasons why women should not be educated in in-depth Torah learning. They should be told, you know, every female does have a halachic obligation to study Torah. But the Torah study that's pashat, the halachic obligation, is for them in order to fulfill mitzvahs. Now, there are many, many mitzvahs women have to fulfill, all the mitzvahs, like to say, and then we have the six mitzvahs, t'midiyos, the constant mitzvahs, emunas Hashem, avos Hashem, yiras Hashem, and that requires studies of chassidus, in-depth study of chassidus, to really appreciate those mitzvahs, what the Eibishter is all about, and what it means, yichud Hashem, and emunas Hashem, avos Hashem, yiras Hashem, and so forth. So there's plenty of in-depth Torah study that women have to do just to fulfill their own obligation of studying Torah in order to fulfill mitzvahs. And in the Rebbe's, there's another sikha where there's a whole debate if women say a bracha, they say the brichas of Torah, are we obligated, not obligated in Torah study? There's another that mentioned there that if a woman chooses to do extra study, she's allowed to and she would still say the bracha, which means there's also that added dimension if there's a certain subject in Torah study that you feel is fascinating, you could still say brichas of Torah, because even though we're not obligated, we don't have the obligation of studying Torah day and night as men do, but that optional enhanced Torah study was always something that had a place within halacha. However, there is clear direction in Gemara that women, we have to remember like the backdrop, society, for hundreds, if not thousands of years in society, women were not educated. They were simple. They didn't use their brains too much. Yes, throughout history, there was always select few, you know, wives or daughters of the sages in Jewish history, or, you know, our Rabbeim, the ancestors from their ancestry. There was always individual women. They were unique that they did use their brains to study in-depth Torah, but that was far from the norm. And Chazal did caution, because women are not educated, maybe they'll misunderstand or misconstrue, or maybe use it for not, you know, in a context that maybe not would not be useful for their Torah observance, enhanced Torah observance. And kind of they were dismissive of making it a thing that women should study.
Right.
However, the other said all this did change. I mean, for various reasons, and basically we could boil down to three. But for the singles population in those two areas that you mentioned, the Rebbe said nowadays women are educated. Intellectual stimulation is very real for women. And studying, just to know information and to broaden our intellectual capacities, that's society nowadays. So first and foremost, then that, of course, once we're already using our brains and we are very in the forefront of even different developments in society and other sciences, of course women should be using their intellectual stimulation in Torah learning. Then it becomes a plus. Then whatever Chazal say doesn't apply anymore. So of course, where else should a woman get her intellectual stimulation if not from Torah itself? That's Chochmas Hashem versus Chochmas Chitzonius. Okay, sometimes we have to be involved for financial reasons. That's a very nice extra. But if for intellectual stimulation, we have it right here. And that's one very important reason. And I think many of us find that so validating, because why shouldn't we? And the Rebbe actually preempts another taina that people have, like, what if she knows too much? How is that going to affect her halachic observance? And the Rebbe said, forget it, the opposite. Like, it's so exciting when you know the reasons. It's so exciting. It broadens the horizons, it broadens the scope, and you see the reasons behind it. And the Rebbe says the shock of a tire, the back and forth, and the debate, and the different why. So I do want to say, is this vipayo, like in actuality, is this true for everyone?
Right.
So, you know, there's, you know, four great sages entered the paradis. Each one came out with a different reaction.
Right.
You know, one of them died, one of them went crazy, one of them became an apikiris. And it says Rebbe Akiva, he actually came out in a very elevated state of Torah knowledge and closeness to Eibishter. So all four of us are going in the same place. Why is everyone coming out differently? Because nichnas b'shalom, yatzah b'shalom. What's your motivation?
Right.
There are human beings, males and females, and let's not segregate or be racist against the feminine species or whatever, that they go into Torah study not with the appreciation of the Messiah, or not with appreciation of how Allah was established in previous generations, and they want to kind of undo it or go backwards or have their own opinion. So it's not about Torah Hashem, it's about their own opinion and how it interfaces with Torah.
Right.
Versus if we go in with that Yir Shamayim, and that's why Chassidus is so important, because Chassidus keeps us grounded. It reminds us that this is Torah Hashem. It reminds us of that kind of Kabbalah's oil that we may have fascinating different opinions, but there still is a way, the way halacha is transmitted and what halacha means in our everyday life.
Right.
So if we come in with a correct attitude, which Baruch Hashem, I think we all do, I mean, that's a default setting. Women are inherently Yerushalmayim and no one really is coming in with an agenda. The Rebbe said, enhanced understanding of the shock of a tire, the different reasoning, what's behind it, what's the history of it, will actually enhance our excitement within entire observance. We're not here to get less. We're here to actually be better people in fulfilling Hashem's directives. I want to add another detail, very important detail. And the Rebbe actually brings in, as far as preparing for your future home. If you have time before you actually go from the framework of Pesach Chinuch to the framework of your Bais Neman B'Yisrael, and we always want to prepare. There's so much talk about preparing emotionally. You want to make sure you're emotionally healthy. You want to make sure you're physically healthy. You want to come in, you know, as healthy as you can and be able to fit your role as a Keres HaBayis. Torah study is so important. And the Rebbe says why. Because even though in halacha, a man is obligated for the chinuch of the children, but the Rebbe brings in a shalah that, especially nowadays, the feminine approach, the soft approach, we could talk a lot about the feminine approach, but that's not the scope of this particular kind of interview. But that is what works nowadays. It's not a top-down. It's kind of a bottom-up. And that is the feminine approach on chinuch. And because women, nowadays, that's what works. And if we want Torah to be transmitted properly and Torah knowledge and Torah observance, we need that female approach. So a woman is very involved in the chinuch of her children. And part of that is also is engaging her family in the beauty of Torah knowledge, versus the man would be give a test or for hair or be there to make sure the details or the kind of the skeleton of the Torah studies, you know, the translation is fine, you know, the meaning. It's the female approach, which is the connective approach, which is the key nowadays to the continuity of Torah observance. And in order to do that, we have to be so familiar with the material. What is it that we're trying to give over? What is this mitzvah? And not only in about the feminine approach, actually the women has a natural inclination or a natural feminine makeup of engaging somebody in a great conversation. So we can have husbands or children or family members that are disengaged from Torah study. But a woman, the more she knows what let's say even what the children are learning in school. It used to be, you know, in third grade they start learning Mishnayos, and what does a woman have to do? She doesn't even know the Mishnayos. She never learned it. Tati has to do the homework. Right. But when mommy knows the Mishnayos, you know, or right. mommy knows the Gemara, the way the mommy engages in a question that could kind of open up this child's mind and have a conversation and make it connective, that female approach, we have to know a lot more, even for the chinuch of Torah study for our husbands and children. So it is preparing for a keres abayis, not only because we have to know our own mitzvahs. That's, of course, that's a chiv that never stops.
Right.
Right? That was always, that never changed. But that additional Torah study that's not perhaps our chiv just enhances our ability to be the right conduits that our family members should appreciate the beauty of Torah and be excited about the observance of what it says in Torah, the mitzvahs.
Right, right. So I think we've sort of fleshed out a little bit about what the value of a woman's learning is, both in the context of, you know, her preparation for building a home and in terms of her own personal, you know, intellectual development and stimulation. I guess the question that sort of a lot of people have is like how much and to what degree, how much energy should be put into this, you know, as opposed to other priorities, right? So I guess some questions I want to start with is, you know, going back to before somebody's actually has a home, right, when they're still single, right, should there also be a degree of investment in, you know, making money and practically supporting the family? I think nowadays, especially, you know, very often, practically speaking, both parents need to be working in order to support their family. In a lot of families, that's true. And should women be preparing for that in some way as well? And secondly, you know, there's many ways that women could be, you know, using their energy even within the realm of Kedusha, right? So there's chinuch and there's shluchas and there's all kinds of other ways that women could be contributing to the community and to children and all kinds of other things. And how much energy should be devoted to that as opposed to Torah learning when, again, Torah learning, again, at the end of the day, Talmud Torah is not a woman's mitzvah. So like, to what degree should that be? Should we be investing money and energy and time into that?
So first of all, it's never a zero. What the Rebbe put on our plate is that women need to know a lot more Torah nowadays than ever before for their own selves and for their families. Ignoring that aspect is a negative, it's not a neutral. We're not living 100 years ago, we're not living 50 years ago, okay? We're living in today, and I'll soon say also, ushering in Yemais Mashiach, another little point that the Rebbe mentioned, like if we feel Mashiachic, as a hachana for Mashiach's coming, and there'll be a vast amount of Torah study, because at that time, the Rebbe says, we will see the value of feminine over masculine. How do we prepare for Mashiach's coming? That we'll also see in the area of Torah learning a vast increase as a preparation for Mashiach of the female Torah study. So if you want to prepare for Mashiach, women are the ones who are going to have a huge upgrade and huge movement forward in their degree of Torah study more than ever before. So I want to just add that in. Like there's the intellectual stimulation, there's preparing for your home, but there's preparing for Mashiach too. That's also, it applies, it's a global goal for every woman in every age and stage of their life, single, married, young, old, and anyone in between. That's the feminine upgrade in Torah learning as a hachana for Mashiach, as a taste of Mashiach's coming. Now, how much every individual should use their koiches for Torah learning or for chinuch or for shlichus or for finding a parnasa. It's very individual. That you have to speak to your mashpia about that. Right. But definitely cannot be ignored because it's a staple. Just like we prepare for our future in we want to be stable financially. That's a gashmistika thing. We want to be healthy emotionally. A lot of girls are using this time to make sure they're in their optimum emotional health or physical health. Well, part of ruchnistika health is we have to study Torah. Now, even if it's basic halachas that we need, okay, that's also very important. But here the Rebbe is saying that nowadays we're using our brains. Which woman doesn't? Which human being doesn't? It's the information age. And the excitement and the connection that we will feel with our neshamas when we stimulate our brains to have, Torah is not just information. Torah is Chochmas Hashem. We have Kedusha in our minds. It activates our connection with our Nefesh HaKis. Nowadays, we need to activate that connection to our Nefesh HaKis more than ever before. I personally think, if it's Nigla or it's Chassidus, whatever you have, whatever interests you more, that's for sure.
Right.
But if you're neutral, I would say Chassidus is a foundation to everything else. Chassidus, like when people ask me, what's the best way to prepare for Bais Yehudi? I used to say, we're in this. Now, Chassidus. If you have your Chassidus values, if you have your connection to the Eibishter and your role defined, and you have a serious, exciting connection to your Etzem, which is what Chassidus is trying to teach us, everything else falls into place. But some people appreciate Nigla more, so go right ahead and whatever you appreciate. But nothing is not an option. I'm just wondering, I just thought of this minute, but maybe I'm wrong. Like you talked about some people have such a pressure sort of for financial security in the future. And that's really like overtakes their lives, right? So number one, as Yidden, we have many layers, and we have to make sure each layer is in optimal health. So we can't leave out the Ruchnias. I'm just, what you said, how much, one of your question was, how much should you pay for Torah study? You pay for anything that you value, right? Now, should there be stipends? Should there be maybe funds for people that would appreciate the learning but now can't afford it? We assume every single girl could afford everything. Some people are spending a lot maybe on health. Maybe they have to pay for their emotional health. Maybe they can't, whatever, their living expenses are more than they imagined or their pay is less. So yeah, we should pay for something of value, that's true. But if people want to kind of sponsor your sister, sponsor your daughter, I'm giving you a gift, in-depth 3-month study, I mean, it can only be a good thing.
Right, totally.
I hope I answered the question.
Yeah, 100%. So here's another thing concerned people bring up a lot, which is that, once you get married and you start having children, you have, naturally, a lot of women have much less time to invest in learning, sometimes little to no time, right? Especially at certain stages of raising a young family. And people feel like, well, if I'm going to be, investing so much in my learning now, and I'm not going to be able to keep this up later on, like, it's almost like counterproductive, right? Because I'm just like, I'm not going to be able to keep it up. It's just going to be frustrating for me later when I can't be learning in this way. So like, why would I like set myself up for like a certain, a routine of Torah learning, which is not actually what a woman is, what I'm going to be doing as a woman for, the next couple decades or whatever of my life.
So first of all, we have to validate that sometimes it's so exciting to sit and learn Torah and all of a sudden that's going to be taken away from me. It's almost like a letdown. Mm. And why should I set myself up for something that's so exciting and then have a letdown? So I just want to reframe it a bit.
I could say personally, I've definitely experienced that on a personal level, like having definitely had certain things in my life.
Me too.
Last time. And yeah, that is very disappointing and frustrating. So it's a valid concern.
I would say it's frustrating. It's a valid concern. And we have to definitely, definitely acknowledge that because we all go through that. But there's a lot that let's take a step back. Okay. Yeah. We as Yidden and non-Jews too, we're here on earth to fulfill Hashem's will. Okay? Sometimes fulfilling Hashem's will is exciting, and sometimes fulfilling Hashem's will is not as exciting. Not every mitzvah Hashem gives us is exciting. And sometimes it's true. People that are intellectually stimulated, and when they have to step back and spend hours and hours in a day dealing with children who are not yet giving them that intellectual stimulation and those kind of conversations, So first of all, I want to say we have to acknowledge as part of Avodas Hashem is that there will be many fluctuations in our life. Not only the intellectual stimulation. I was just speaking to a woman today who didn't have children for X amount of time. And she goes, you know, I love this so much. I feel so back to myself. Like, life is amazing. And like, why should I go back and have more children and put myself into that, you know? But pur vu, it's a mitzvah. And sometimes when we do have a break, or it's hard to put ourselves in the other mode if we're the types of people that appreciate. So first of all, I just went back to that. Never neglect your brain. You know, a mother and a father have to be healthy. And some people, their emotional health is based on socialization. Sometimes they need exercise. Sometimes they need a career, whatever makes you feel good. Yeah. But if intellectual stimulation makes you feel like a exciting human being just for your own self, then you have to get that babysitter or work in your time. Don't cut down to zero. Right. If that's what you need to feel healthy, you will make time for it. For many years, I wasn't teaching because of my children. I realized I feel like a mush. So I decided once a week I'll give a class. I don't care if it's for pay or not pay. And I realized when I prepared for that class and I opened up this farm, I got myself back. I got back to myself. So I never went backwards again, no matter how many children, what was going on. Part of my machna mama, creating a healthy mother, was finding that time of the day or the week to be intellectually stimulated, because it only added. And actually, I got that from the Rebbe. My mother actually, she was having a lot of little children, and it's hard, so the Rebbe told her to take household help to do the physical work in the house so she could be there for her children. But then she was teaching twice a week. And the Rebbe, she asked the Rebbe, maybe she would stop teaching, she'd have more time for her children. And the Rebbe said, if she enjoys teaching, she must continue. Because if a mother feels good about doing something for herself, it only enhances her ability to be excited for her children. Right. So if Torah learning, don't stop. But getting back to it, yes, you have to acknowledge that throughout life, sometimes Hashem, we are fulfilling different mitzvahs. You know, does everybody enjoy Pesach cleaning? So yes, you could hire other people to do a lot of things for you. But you know, the Jewish Baal HaBosta, there's certain parts of her kitchen that no other person in the world except for her could actually do it. And we're in charge of kashrus, and includes the chametz, you know, making sure our house is kosher for Pesach. Right. Is it exciting? No. It's a mitzvah. Fine. So yeah, there will be many transitions during life. So you study Torah, and if Hashem tells you right now your mitzvah is not studying Torah, your mitzvah now is tend to the children, we have to switch our gears, switch the, you know, channel, whatever they call it nowadays, the tab. Right. and hype yourself up for that. But don't neglect what you really need. I don't know if that answered the question. But
yeah, no, definitely.
One has nothing to do with the other. If you always went 3 miles jogging every day for your health, and now you're pregnant and you have to cut it down and you miss those days, yes, you could miss those days, but now you're in a different phase in life.
Right. And it doesn't negate the years that you did invest in it. Yeah.
Right. I also want to add something very, very important. Teaching someone else will keep your mind stimulated. It's not about only about yourself. Give to someone else. So you get a double, how you call it, you got a double bonus. You gain intellectual stimulation and somebody else gets to learn also. Take a chavrusa. I have a chavrusa. For you, it once happened that she felt, somebody called me, like she needs some whatever. We decided every Erev Rosh Chodesh, we're going to learn for 15 minutes, something, whatever. It's gone on for more than a decade. You know what I'm trying to say? Mm. Make yourself a chavrusa and you get a double bonus.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Okay, so my next question to you is, is there a difference between what men and women should be learning and the way that they should be learning?
So men, we touched upon this before. Women have to learn in order to fulfill the mitzvahs. That's a halachic obligation. And actually in the Alter Rebbe Shulchan Aruch, no, in Hilchos Talmud Torah, you know, what's Hilchos Nida, okay, now we don't salt our own chickens, but you know, kashrus, the laws of Yichud, you know, yeah, there's some, and besides all the mitzvahs goes to say, and there's plenty we have to learn anyways, you know? Mm-hmm. So first and foremost, know how we have to behave as a Jew. Halacha is always, that's a given.
Yeah.
Chassidus is part of that. Avos Hashem, you know. And then the Rebbe definitely had this emphasis on intellectual stimulation, and that varies from person to person. You know, what's going to keep you intellectually excited about Torah? And then we have that other element of what are your children learning? What's your husband learning? Mm-hmm. You know, so you could engage them with a healthy conversation, an exciting, healthy conversation of Torah learning. Like, you know what to ask. I used to be, how do you call it, clueless on what my children are learning in Mishnah and Gemara. But once you know, and you can have a great conversation with them, it's a whole exciting way of Torah learning, very different than the father is. And it's true. The truth of the matter is, we can't say male versus female nowadays, because I see a lot of males are using a feminine approach also. But definitely the trailblazers are the females. So what to learn? I think we answered that question.
Yeah, you did address that, focusing on what is most appealing to you and exciting for you.
Right. There's a, halacha to know, that's for sure. Chassidus, to keep you connected to the Eibishter, that's part of that. And then wherever your heart takes you.
Right, right. Okay, so another question. I know you have a lot of experience teaching Hilchos Nida, right? And I'm curious what your thoughts are on, you know, women having access to the original sources of halacha. We know that obviously learning halacha and understanding practical halacha is part of our imperative, right? Like it's an actual obligation for women to study. But learning some of the background sources and understanding where the halachas come from, have you seen that can generate a lack of respect for halacha?
Again, we answered that question before. It depends what your motivation is when you learn the background. Is it because I know better and I'll be less observant because look, if somebody has an issue because when they know more, they're doing less, it didn't start from the knowledge of knowing more. It started one step before. What is my reason? Why do I want to know more? Because I only want to do Daraisa, so I want to know what's Daraisa, not Darabanan, so I could decide on my own, I'm doing Daraisa, not Darabanan. It's not the study that created a negative result. Like we said, nichnas b'sholom, yotza b'sholom. What's the motivation? I see women. So it's not only in Hilchos Nida. It's in Hilchos Kashrus and Hilchos Shabbos and in any halacha. From the Rebbe's perspective, I have here the sicha right here, and the Rebbe talks about women not just learning halachos psukos b'li tameihem, just learning the psak din without all the reasons behind it. No, that's not what we're talking about. The Rebbe said we talk about the reasons, the shakel, the tarya, why? All the back and forth and all what's going on behind it, because it adds to a person's enjoyment. When a person enjoys learning, it adds to his chayis and his connection to the Eibishter. So that's how we should be motivated. Wow, this is so exciting. This is where it came from. I hear the different opinions. And a woman with Yerushalayim, she'll behave the way she's supposed to behave because she has that Yerushalayim. So yes, there are women, like I said, and men, not just women. I don't like that you just attributed this to women. It's true that nowadays maybe women know more, so people are questioning it, if it's a value. But there's some men that go into learning with the same motivation, like, do these rabbanim really know what they're talking about? Let me do the research. I know better. I'm going to come up with a different conclusion. That has nothing to do with Torah learning. That has to do with a person's connection to the Eibishter and their Yerushalayim. If a woman sees that her actions are being affected in a negative way, the answer is not learn less. The answer is, it's just a symptom. We have to fix the underlying cause, which is Yerushalayim. And also, we have to have, maybe even before we start learning, we first have to have halacha, and the background of halacha, and how it's passed down. We need a clear understanding, not only in Nigla, but also in Chassidus, about the transmission of halacha throughout generations and why more and more generations we add more siyogim and more siyogim, and how for us that becomes halacha. It's not a minig anymore. Like kitnius, if you look in Shulchan Aruch, says minig Ashkenazim, not eat kitnius. We don't, Ashkenazim, it's halacha. We don't. Before, what I do find is that some women who go through that background of Torah learning without first knowing the foundation of how halacha works, that can backfire. So you first have to have that underlying foundation just from the halachic perspective. And of course, before that comes our connection to the Eibishter and want to make the Eibishter happy. I'm not in it for me. I'm in it so I can make the Eibishter happier. How do I make the Eibishter happier? By being more careful with the observance of his mitzvahs. Being mahadur in a mitzvah it's about enhancing my connection to the Eibishter, not what could I get by with. If you find yourself saying, I could get by with less, this is whatever, the Torah learning isn't the problem.
Right. No, I think that was a really good point, that because, the reason why I was asking this question again is because, obviously it depends on the woman's motivation, but let's say if I'm the teacher or I'm the institution who's offering this learning, like I can't make that assessment about what my student's motivation is, right? So should I be offering this on a public scale, not knowing what the student's motivation is? But I like what you said, that you know, each student has to assess for herself, how is this affecting me? Yeah, I mean, I agree with you that understanding how Tertial Bob Ped works and the authenticity of Tertial Bob Ped, like to me, that was like created the biggest shift, and I think in the students that I've taught, in terms of them appreciating the validity and the sanctity of halacha, like even just example you gave about minhag, you know, people hear the word minhag, they think, oh, it's just like an optional thing. But when you start to understand like minhag is an actual part of halacha, like it's like, it is a halachic, it's halachically binding, and you understand why, that just is a drastic, like, that's a really important thing, a principle to understand before you go into learning the background for halacha, you know?
From the halacha perspective, but there are sikhs from there about the value of a minhag and what's written Hashem. What does it mean, dvar Hashem zu halacha? So I think adding in something from Chassidus each time as a beginning or end, just like, let's finish off and let's go back to that basic, because it's not the default setting of anybody entering this form of learning, let's say. Maybe we do have to take a bit more responsibility to actually add just a sentence or two when we wrap up that lesson that day, just kind of to shift everybody back to where we're supposed to be in case it left somebody with a thought to go in a direction that's maybe not the optimal one.
Sure, and I think that definitely is our obligation as educators. And I think, but I also did love what you said earlier, which was that, you know, we should assume that women, the assumption is that every woman who's coming is coming with Yirat Shamayim, with a certain sincerity, right? Like that should be our assumption of people. Based on the Rebbe's Sichah, based on what we know of halacha, right? What the obligation of a woman to learn is halacha, right? That's what she has a strict obligation to learn. And the other thing you said, which the Rebbe talks about, is chassidus, right? Which means like the fulfilling the mitzvahs of Avat Hashem, Yiras Hashem, like, you know, being an inspired, motivated Jewish woman. And my question is, do you feel like the curriculum that is in our schools is reflecting that, you know, that focus? And if not, what do you think can be changed?
I'm sure they teach halacha, they teach chassidus, should be taught a different way. That's their evaluation. Mm-hmm. But I'm talking about a different demographic, okay? About that intellectual stimulation. There is so much Torah that we can get excited about. And how many girls leave our moistis and never got a taste of the exciting, and these are girls that can be intellectually stimulated. We have Knein Hara, a lot of bright minds. And how many of them really got that self-motivation to pursue that knowledge on their own, because this is so exciting, I'm never getting enough of it. Can I just do more and more and more?
Right.
Like, it's sad when once they come out, all of a sudden, Hadassah has to create a Bat Sheva Learning Center to kind of, where was it? You know what I'm trying to say? We have so many opportunity within the school setting. And, you know, you offer this extra Torah learning, and some of my high school girls and my own daughters, they're so excited about it. You know, they love it. And I think we need so much more opportunity that women should find young ladies, girls, poshut an excitement of Torah learning. And of course, when Torah is in our head, it affects the rest of us. Tanya talks about it. Even if our original motivation was intellectual stimulation, but when you have Hashem himself inside your brains, it affects the rest of you, the rest of our actions. I don't want to comment on curriculums. I don't think it's my place. I'm not in charge of curriculum, and I don't want to chas v'shalom. There's a lot of hardworking people doing curriculum, and if they're doing that first part of halacha lamaisa and chassidus to feel connected to the Eibush in very real ways, I'll let the students themselves answer that question. But this next part that Rebbe talks about, even if they have one track, every school can have like a track for girls that already have that intellectual capacity. We'd have so many more Chabad girls enjoying Pashat, the beauty of Torah itself. I just want to finish off. I have, you know, the Rebbe's sikha about the women have like the essence of Torah, and then the details follow, and other sikhas like that. But what does it mean, Kabbalah Satorah, or Kabbalah's oil? So the Rebbe explains, Kabbalah's oil is we're receiving it, we're welcoming it. And for approach to halacha is that Kabbalah's oil, meaning I could start doing the research, I could figure it all out, but bottom line is the Eibusher figured it out all for me. It's almost comforting knowing that Hashem knows what's best for me. Hashem has it all figured out. There is a tradition, there is rules in Torah, what the role of a Rav is, right? And Shmuel B'Dorah, Yiftach B'Dorah, everybody, you know. We have to acknowledge what is the role of a Rav, what is a Shiloh, what's not a Shiloh, what we can take into our own hands.
Yeah.
But if the foundation is I'm the receiver from the Eibishter. I'm not here to push my agenda. Mm-hmm. I'm receiving what the Eibishter has to offer is that bittul and that receptiveness that no matter what the bottom line will be, it'll enhance my halacha. Versus if I come with my agenda, not kabbal, I'm not receiver. I'm here to make myself be known. I'm here to push an agenda. You know, if I'm here as a pusher, that's when it gets risky.
Right. Yeah, so absolutely.
We should receive. We should be Kabbalah Satira B'Simcha B'Pnimius. We should be able to actually have the security and the Simcha and the Pnimius of receiving what the Eibishter has to offer. And that bittul of being the receiver of Hashem's vast, you know, from up there all the way to down here, just puts it in a healthy perspective. I mean, I think in Ruchnius.